Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
Good morning. All right, show me a little more excitement than that. Good morning. There we go. That's what I'm used to. They already mentioned I was a former professional athlete, so hey, that's the world I live in. So I operate off of excitement and enthusiasm, so it'll be kind of exciting today. Want to give you something to laugh and to smile and maybe even cry about. But at the end of the day, I want to give you what I believe God has given me on today. If you don't mind, we can just pray really briefly. Father, I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for the lives that are here. I pray, God, that my words would be effective, Lord, and I pray also, Lord, that it would go out and accomplish what you set it forth to do. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Listen, I'm excited to be here. It's such a tremendous honor and a privilege. I'm so grateful to God, first and foremost, for the opportunity. I certainly don't take it lightly to have an opportunity to stand in this post, for it is a great responsibility, but it is something that I would not trade for the world. I'm also grateful to Pastor Vinny and the entire Verve Church family. They have been so wonderful to me and hospitable and accommodating, and just having the opportunity to have connected with this ministry has just been tremendous. I was kind of geared in this direction through a friendship. Pastor Tony, who also serves here on the staff at Verve, is one of the parents of two individuals that I've had the chance to coach in my time at Faith Lutheran High School as the head high school football coach, and we've developed a great friendship. It's been wonderful throughout the 6 years that I've known him, and he directed Pastor Vinny over to us, and he shared with our team during the season, and we were able to just collaborate from that moment, and here I am standing here today. So I'm appreciative for this opportunity, and again, it is something that I am truly grateful for. It's funny how God kind of weaves the puzzle pieces of our life together, and how he'll orchestrate things through what we term as chance meetings, and you meet people, and then they become a part of your life, and before you know it, you can see God's direction through those relationships and connections. What I want to talk about a little bit here today is not so much about me. To be honest, you'll probably be like, well, you don't know what you're in store for. I'll just say that, right? Because you come and your expectations may be all over the place. You know, I don't know what attracted you to come here today. Obviously, for me, it was an invitation, but for you, it may have been just a billboard. You know, you may have been driving by and you've seen this church, or maybe someone invited you here. But for whatever reason, one of the things that I am fully confident of is that you're not here by chance. I don't believe in chance, happenstance, or luck as it pertains to God, but I believe that all things are divinely orchestrated through his direction and his will. And so you're not here by an accident. I believe if you're here today, you're here for a specific purpose. And there's something that God wants you to gain through this time that we spend together. And church may not be your thing. Let's just be real, right? I invited someone, and the first thing they said to me was, I don't like church, or I don't go to church. And I said, well, you're going to be in the perfect place, because I know the theme of this church, right? It's a church for people who don't like church. So I said, hey, man, I got the perfect place for you to come. And that individual was actually here. Man, I'm so thankful. I won't embarrass you or call you out, but thank you. I saw you, and I appreciate God for bringing you here today. And that may be the case for many of us, right? Our experiences with church or with God or just in general. Maybe you have questions, or maybe you really don't know what you believe. But my prayer today is that there'll be something that's said that causes you to leave here different than the way that you came in. And that's my true intent. At the end of the day, that's what it's all about when it's said and done. I'll tell you a little bit about myself, because I think that's important, right? If someone's going to stand in front of you for a half hour, you should at least know a little bit about them. I do see some familiar faces here, so many people here already kind of know me, but I want to show you a picture of my family, and this is a picture of an entire group of my family, okay? And so the guy all the way to the left, your left up there, best looking dude I've ever seen. I don't really know who that is, but that's a sharp looking dude. And the woman standing next to him, who is not taller than me, she has on heels, okay? That is my wife of almost 14 years this March. And she is the most beautiful woman on the outside and the inside. love her dearly. She couldn't be here today. She had a ministry obligation. She's over a dance ministry at our church, and so she had to be there this morning. And then standing there in the middle is actually my mother, who will be 60 this year. And oftentimes when I'm with her, people think that's my girlfriend, right? And they'll say, oh, your daughter's so beautiful. I'm like, that's her grandmother, right? So, yes, but she is a wonderful mother. That's my father there, my hero, the guy that really, I have his name. I mean, so I try every single day to be like him. He's been an amazing example of a father, of a husband, and someone that I highly, highly look up to. And all the way there to your right is the person that stole away my rights of being an only child for 12 years, and then all of a sudden she comes along. And so she is my sister, and I love her dearly. She's very talented and beautiful. And then the two there on the bottom, those are what I like to affectionately refer to as the Nuggets, okay? That's Nugget number one and Nugget number two, okay? And they are our miracle children. We were actually told when we were married that we would not medically be able to have children. And honestly, my wife sat me down, and one day she told me, she goes, well, I don't know if I can have children. This is before we got married. And I'm like, well, so be it. You know what I mean? I love you, and we're going to do this. We're going to trust God. And not only did he bless us, you know, but he blessed us with two. And that was even after our first failed attempt. And God is good and just tremendous. And so they mean the world to us. They're our miracle children. That's when they were a little bit smaller. So I'll show you the next picture. And this picture here is recent. And that's, you know, our Fox 4. Everybody in the house name starts with a T except me. We got Ty, Tylin, and Traylin, and then Vernon. So I don't know what that means, but hey, it works for me, okay? It separates me and keeps me isolated in the family. But that's my family, and I show you that for two reasons. One reason is I was once told that for public speakers, if you can kind of show a personal side of you, your family, then it loosens everybody up. So that's why I did that, kind of, to be honest, okay? Yeah, that works. And then the second reason why is because I think it's important that you really get to see a different side, because, you know, you may have seen a picture, or you may have heard that there would be a former NFL player here today. And one of the biggest battles of my life is really trying to evade that persona. You know, that's what everyone identifies me as. And it's okay, because it was a tremendous blessing and a great opportunity for me to have had the opportunity to do what people dream of doing. 1% of people in the world get a chance to play in the NFL. And so that is a big part of me. But at the same time, it's not truly who I am in completion. And I made the horrible mistake of identifying myself by what I did for a very long time. I'll just be honest with you. I thought that I was created to play football. I just thought that's why God created me. I didn't have to think about it. It came easy. It was simple. It was something that, you know, it was just a natural gift. It was innate. And I thought that that's who I was. And it didn't appear to me the reality of who I really was and what my purpose was until it was taken away. I played the game for almost 18 years, and for almost a decade I played in the NFL, and then all of a sudden it ended and I had to re-identify who I was. And that wasn't easy for me, because I came to the realization that I was thinking that I was something that I did versus who God really created me to be. And I later realized that was just a platform that God had given me as a blessing in my life to put me in a position where I could have impact and influence. And it wasn't impact or influence for myself, but that his name may be glorified and that people would be drawn to him through my life. And so I live a life now that is sacrificially given to God as an opportunity for me to just share the goodness of Jesus Christ. Because again, I don't know why you came here initially, but what I want you to leave with is understanding what they've been talking about here at Verve Church, which is life hacks. And for me, the NFL was a life hack for me. Because forever I had experienced success in every way athletically, and when I was not drafted into the NFL after being told that I'd be a third or fourth round draft pick, and I was not in 2002, I sat there and never ever got a phone call. It was the biggest change for me ever in life. I was disappointed, I was frustrated, I was hurt, I was bitter, and what I learned is that it was the greatest thing that could have ever happened to me. It was the biggest life hack when God changed my direction, because what he did was he tore down my pride and he gave me an opportunity to see that my reliance had been upon myself and not upon him. And so it drew me closer to him, and there was a deeper intimacy, and there was a greater level of connection with him, and I began to rely upon God and my relationship built with him, and then he began to build me up again and make me over into a new person. And so I realized that had that not happened, I don't know that I'd be the person that I am today. And so it was the biggest life hack I could have ever experienced. And what I ran smack dab in the face of is the love of God. And God's love, I learned, was so different than the love that I had experienced or the love that I thought that I knew. Because I experienced love from who I was. I experienced love from the things that I had done and the things that I accomplished. And that's what I want to talk about today. The first scripture I want to share with you comes from John chapter 13 and it's verses 34 and 35. I love this passage of scripture because it talks about that one thing that we're talking about here today, which is love. And throughout scripture, God talks about why love is so important. He expresses to us that there is hope and there is faith, but the greatest of all of these things is love. It's the greatest commandment that he can give us. In John chapter 13, 34 and 35, it says, "A new command I give you, to love one another as I have loved you." So he's saying, follow my example. "So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." Now, I mean, just in that particular passage, that's two verses, and you hear the word love over and over and over again. As a matter of fact, in the Bible, it says that in the King James Version of the Bible, which is just like the old script of the Bible, one of the more original versions of the translation, it says that the word love shows up 310 times, right? And 131 times in the Old Testament. Any math people in here? I know some teachers in here. How many would that be in the New Testament? 131 is 310 total. Anybody pop that out real quick? Whoa! Who said that? That's impressive. That's impressive because I couldn't figure that out. 179 times in the New Testament. Mentioned over 300 times in the Bible, and no, I did not read the entire Bible and highlight every love and count it out. I looked on Google. I just got to be honest, all right? I do use Google quite a bit. So we hear that love is very important in Scripture. But here's the thing. What I've learned is that love is relative to your experience, right? And so when God talks about love in Scripture, it's quite different than the love that we understand or what we've experienced. Because the lenses that we view our lives and love through come from our experiences, our upbringing, our background, comes from our culture, comes from the things that we've gone through, right? And so the way we see love is by how we experience love. And so oftentimes, the way that we give love is how we receive love. And it becomes tainted. It becomes something that is not pure in its approach, right? Because we talk about love and we say to fall in love or fall out of love. That is so inconsistent with what God is trying to tell us what love is. As a matter of fact, I don't want anything that you can fall in and out of. That's so unstable, right? Right? But the real love is a love that's different than the love that we talk about. There was a song in 1980, and you know, I don't claim to be a country music fan, but I remember this song because I grew up in the 80s, and I was sharing earlier, I felt so good. I was in the green room, and there's a couple teenagers in there, and they said to me, you know, they looked me up on Wikipedia or something, and she goes, "You're 39? And I'm like, "Oh, man, that made me feel pretty good." She thought I was in my, you know, 20s or whatever. But no, I grew up in the 80s, and I remember this song, and there was a song by an artist by the name of Johnny Lee. I don't know, some of you may remember this song, right? And the song said, "Looking for love in all the wrong places." Right? Looking for love in too many faces. What Johnny was expressing is how we search after love in this life. Because love is so unstable and inconsistent, we look for love in all the wrong places. And the type of love that we are expecting to gain is not the type of love that Christ gives, because his love is free and it's a gift and it's not something that we have to go out and earn. But we look for love through things that we obtain, through things that you know, through status or through these things. We want acceptance and we want love, and that love is so inconsistent and it's far from the conditional or unconditional love that Christ offers us. In the Bible, it talks about a different type of love. In John 15, 12 and 13, I love this because scripture is so specific, and if you're actually paying close attention, you'll see something. It says, "My command is this." The first thing that you need to understand is that he says it's a command. It's not a suggestion. It's not good advice. It is a command. He says, "My command is that you love one another, to love each other as I have loved you.
Love each other as I have loved you. He's saying this is a command. He's saying that there is a type of love that you must emulate that only comes through the love of Christ. And then he goes on further to say this. He says, greater love has no man than this, than one that would lay down his life for a friend. There is no greater expression of love than the love that Jesus showed in Scripture. In John chapter 3 and 16, which is a very popular passage of Scripture, but actually something that has probably become cliched because people just kind of throw it out so haphazardly, right? You see it on billboards. You'll see it on a sign at a baseball game or a football game. But it really, truly has lost its value because it is the greatest expression of love in Scripture. When it says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And it came by way of an expression of love. You see, he understood that there was only one way to redeem humans, right? When we were separated from Christ through our sin, which comes through birth and Adam sinning. And then all of a sudden, he's saying, here is the ultimate sacrifice, and I'm going to do this for you because I love you. It's a different kind of love. It's not a love that we can reason with or cognitively embrace or understand because, again, we look through our lenses of love. But this is what we call an agape love, and that's a big word. It's just a Greek word in Scripture that talks about a love that's selfless, that's sacrificing, a love that's unconditional. And when I say unconditional, I'm saying that you don't have to meet a standard to experience the love of Christ. Not like you and I, right? Because we hold standards on people. Let's just be real. Let's just keep it 100 all the way, right? We hold standards on people, and if you meet this criteria, then I'll express my love to you. Or if you change in this area, or if you do this here, or tweak this a little bit here, right? And it becomes conditional, and it's not the type of love that Christ gave us in Scripture. The type of love that pushed him, that even when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he was human like you and I, and he felt the pain and he felt the agony and the fear of what he would have to endure on our behalf in order to express that love. And he says, God, if there's any other way that I can go about this, can we choose another way? And then he leaves himself in that moment and says, okay, it's not about me, but it's about my why and why I'm doing this. I'm doing it for all of those out there that once I sacrifice once and for all, this expresses my love and it gives them an opportunity to come into the knowledge of an eternal life through me. And he still does it in the midst of the pain. That's what I'm talking about when I say agape or selfless love. This is a different type of love. And he identified what I always like to say as our why. I got a few players in here that play for me, and they'll tell you it's something we talk about often. It's a why. As a matter of fact, we ask those guys from time to time to put in their locker a picture or a signification of what their why is so that every single day they can see it and it keeps them motivated to keep going. And we'll ask them to stand up in front of all of the other guys in that locker room and express what your why is. It's one of the most amazing things we've ever done. You know why? Because we got 15, 16, 17, 18-year-old young men standing in front of their peers, almost in tears at times, expressing their why they do what they do. And it is one of the most powerful things that you can attach yourself to because it pushes you past yourself. It's what Jesus experienced, right? It's the reason why he went the extra mile, because he remembered why he was doing what he was doing. And the why was because of love. There's a show that comes on, and I know for you all, you're probably already confused, like, okay, so this dude used to play in the NFL. He coaches on the gridiron, you know, all this stuff, and he's up there talking about love. So I know you're probably already confused, right? But I want to talk about something else, too, that's going to confuse you a little bit more. You guys remember a show called Snapped? Anybody ever seen that show, Snapped? Yeah, it's not a real pleasant show, okay? But the show in itself is a documentary-type show, and what it does is it highlights a particular relationship, usually between two people. Sometimes it can be like a crazy love triangle. But what ends up happening is that at some point, at some time in the show, someone snaps. And they go through this mental place that puts them in crazy mode, right? And then they end up killing the other person or something crazy. And all the time, they always say that love was their why. It was the motivator as to why they did what they did. And my thinking is this, right? Don't love me that much. I mean, God can love me like that he would die for me, but don't kill me because you love me. Like, I just,
I mean, I don't really want that type of love. That's just kind of how I feel, right? But in this show, they would say that love made them do it. And the funny thing about it is the only real motivating love that would make us do anything is the love of Christ, and this is why he did what he did. You hear me say that over and over, but I'm saying it for a reason, because I want it to penetrate your heart. You see, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you'll see it up on the screen here. It's what's considered the love scripture. And I love it because it explains what real love is, right? Love doesn't make you go and hurt someone else. No, this is what love does. It says that love is patient. Love is kind. It doesn't envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. Love doesn't seek to please itself or to get only what it wants. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. And then it goes on to say in the first part of verse 8, love never fails. You see, this is a different type of love than what we're used to, right? It's different than what we've been exposed to. It's different than the examples of love that we've encountered in our lives. In Romans 5, verses 6 through 8, it says that rarely would one die for a righteous person. As a matter of fact, the beginning of that scripture says, it says that at just the right time and when we were still powerless, Christ died for us. He died for the ungodly. It wasn't something that was predicated on you being good or you changing or you meeting a criteria or a standard. No, it says that at the right time, even before you ever came into the knowledge of who he was, it says he demonstrated his love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. He didn't wait for you to fix your life. He didn't wait for you to clean yourself up. But in his foreknowledge and understanding that we would come to this earth as sinful human beings that were so far from perfect, right? If I went around this room and I asked you to raise your hand if you have problems, I would think that every person in this room would raise their hand. And if I were asked if I had problems, I would raise my hand, both hands, and if I could levitate, I'd raise my feet too, because I got that many problems. The Bible tells us clearly, it says, the righteous man will have many problems or troubles, but it's God who delivers him out of them all. You see? And if I were to ask that, I would think everyone in here would raise their hand. And if you didn't raise your hand, you'd have a problem with lying, because everybody has problems. And my point in telling you that is this, is that we have to understand that in order to get help, we must first admit where we are. You have to. Because if you were someone that ever struggled with an addiction or a problem, you'd go to a place where they provide help or assistance or support, and the first thing they ask you to do is to admit that you have a problem, right? If you can't get past that first psychological step, then there probably isn't any help for you. And so what we have to do is we have to come to God and be honest about where we are and understand that maybe we haven't seen love the way that love should be displayed as in Scripture, right? We have to understand that his sacrifice didn't have any limits on it. It wasn't because you were a good person, but before you were ever even thought of, before you were formed in your mother's womb, he died for you. The greatest expression of love. The greatest why, the greatest motivating factor. And so what that tells me is that, what does it mean now? What does it mean at this point? Because one of the things that I just firmly believe in is that it's not enough for me to stand here and just tell you something or to share stories with you or to make you laugh or to even tickle your ears or make you feel good. But if I don't give you something that you do next, then how can your life change? Change only comes with change. And so I have to give you tools, and there has to be an action that you take, right? Because at the end of the day, there has to be something that is a response to this word that you hear. It's said like this in Scripture. It says that for a person that's only a hearer of the word and they're not a doer, so if they don't do something, then it's almost like looking at yourself in the mirror and walking away and forgetting what you look like. It's that serious. And so it's important that we understand, but I gotta be careful when I tell you this, because I don't want you to think that there's anything you have to do to earn God's love. He's already given it to you. And it didn't matter.
He knew that you were imperfect. He understood that in advance. And I love it the way Paul says it. And I'm talking about Paul. Paul is just one of the coolest dudes in scripture because Paul was a guy that killed Christians and he was passionate and he did all of these things. And then he had this big aha moment with God and God opened his eyes after making him blind. And he did all this cool stuff. And then he became one of the biggest proponents for the scripture and the gospel in the entire Bible. He wrote 1/3 of the New Testament. And Paul says it like this. He goes, Christ's love compels us to change. It compels us to live a life that's selfless and not about our own personal fleshly gain, but for the purpose of Christ. That's amazing because what he's saying is that it's not necessarily that we're doing something to earn God's love, but we're doing something in response to God's love. And that's how your life is fashioned and changed. I'll be the first one to admit to you, I held back from entering into a relationship with Christ or seeking Christ because I was afraid that I wasn't good enough. I knew where I was. I understood. There's always two people that know what's going on with you, right? In all honesty, we can put a mask on for everyone else and we can fake and we can do all of these things. But at the end of the day, you and God know where you are. And I knew where I was. And I didn't think that I could live a life that was righteous enough to be what God wanted me to be. And then what I understood is that there was never a point where I would ever be righteous enough. That all I needed to do was submit and give myself to him. And then he's the one that changed me. One of the most amazing things that I've ever experienced is the biggest life hack in my life. And so what action do you take at this point? I told you, I've been married for almost 14 years, and one of the things that I absolutely know now is that it's not enough for me to just say I love my wife, but I have to show her in my actions. And that's part of the reason why we've been turned off from love. It's part of the reason why we've been turned off from church, because we see hypocritical living. We see people say one thing, but they do something else. And it reminds me of my college coach. You'll see a picture up above, right? His name was Pat Hill. I went to Fresno State University, and he was one of the most blue-collar, rough-around-the-edge guys I've ever met in my life. Really, seriously. I mean, but that's what attracted me to him, because he reminded me of my high school coach. But the thing I loved about him is that he kept it 1,000. He was real at all times, and there was no fake about him. Right? I come up with all of these cool themes every year for our football team for the season. And, you know, one year we had an acronym. It was WORK, W-O-R-K, willingness to overcome resistance while keeping the faith. And, you know, we got all of these cool things. I mean, there was nothing cool about his themes. One year our theme was shut up and hit somebody. That was it, right? He put it on shirts and we shut up and hit people. That was bottom line, right? Blue collar, straight to the point. One of the things that I remember he would always say that really changed me, and I share it all the time. My players in here, they'll tell you they probably heard it 3,000 times. But he said all the time that your actions speak so loud, I can barely hear what you're saying. And it was a cool way of him saying that actions speak louder than words, but it was life-changing for me. Because what it helped me to understand is that it wasn't enough for me to just say something if I wasn't doing it. I'm one of those people where you can't just say something to me if your life doesn't align with what you're saying. It doesn't work for me. You can't be an athletic trainer and you come to me and you're overweight and out of shape and say, come here, I got the answer for you. No, you don't. Because obviously you don't believe in what you're teaching and you're not disciplined enough to implement it. But I want to see the actions and the words line up. And so what do? We have to express love every single day. My last story, I promise. I love stories. But a few weeks ago, I was at the gym, and I was working out, and as a matter of fact, is Rico here? All right, I've been looking for Rico, okay? So I'm going to ask in every service until I see Rico raise his hand and stand up. But there was a guy by the name of Rico, and I was at the gym, and he walked up to me, and I had on one of those things, you know, that you kind of put your phone in, and you can Velcro it on or whatever. And so I had that, and he walked over to me, and he goes, man, I got a really big phone like you, and I've never seen one of those. And so, you know, I was just wondering where you got that from or whatever. And I remembered I happened to have two of those. I'm like, oh, I got one in my bag in the gym, you know, in my locker. I said, if you wait right here, I'll just go and get it. He's like, what? And I'm like, no, I got another one. And he's like, okay, but I mean, where'd you get it from? I'm like, dude, I'm gonna give you one. And he's like, what? And so I said, just stay right here, watch my weight, and then I'll go and I'll get it and I'll come right back. So I go into the locker, and when I get in there, I remembered that I had two. One was like a really like kind of nice one, a little more expensive. It had slots for your keys and like some little extra, you know, gadgets on it or whatever. And my first inclination was like, I'm gonna keep that one for me, and then I'll give him this sweaty one that I'm using right now. But something inside of me said, no, just give him this one. And so I walked out there and I gave it to him, and he was standing there and he was just looking dumbfounded. And he's like, huh? He goes, why would you give me this? And I'm like, why not? Why wouldn't I? I got an extra one, man. You can have it. I'm like, that's our job, to bless others and to express the love of Christ through our actions. And he's like, whoa. And so he walked off, and about 15 minutes later, he walked over to me, and he goes, what's your name again? And I told him my name. I didn't tell him anything else about me. And he goes, man, I just moved here, and I was kind of wondering about the people of Las Vegas. I didn't know how they were or whatever. He's like, but, man, that's awesome. Like, you know, and I said, well, hey, man, again, that's our job. And I said, hey, I'm speaking at this church in a few weeks. I said, why don't you come? And he's like, absolutely, man, I'll find a way to get there. And he asked for the information, and we exchanged information. And I thought about it when I walked off. How much are we expressing the love of Christ genuinely in our actions? Because it's the thing, as the scripture said in the beginning, he says, by this everyone will know that you're my disciples. People aren't going to know that you're a Christian because you put a fish on your car, or because, you know, you say all of this cool stuff, or you wear a cross around your neck. No, they look at your life, and your life speaks louder than your words. And so it's a type of love that we are to operate in at all times. The last scripture, 1 John 3:18, it says this. It says, let us not love with words or speech, but with action and truth. With action and truth. Understand, our love is just not about the things that you say. God is calling us to a love, and remember, it's a command. It's a love that comes out through our actions, by how we treat one another, by how we engage and how we interact. And we follow the example of Christ, who made the ultimate sacrifice expressing his love. Listen, I don't use the term friend real loosely. I don't have a whole bunch of them, you know, but there are a few people that are my friends. Pastor Tony is like, he's a friend. He's a friend, right? And I'd fight for Pastor Tony, you know. He knows I got his back, and I stand in the gap for him, and I pray for him, and I do whatever, and I know he'd do the same for me. But if it came down and someone came to me and said, it's going to be nugget number two, your son, or Pastor Tony, I'll fight for you, but I don't know if I can give up nugget number two, right? But that's what Jesus did for us. No greater love than one that would lay down his life for a friend, died on your behalf. That's what real love is. Before I go to my seat, I want to pray for two groups of individuals. One in particular, you may just be here today and you don't even know why. You just got here, right? And church may not be your thing, or you may not really know Jesus for yourself. Like, you hear me talking, but it's kind of like I'm not really even on that team. You know, I want to pray for you that God would continue to warm your heart. The Bible says that he knocks at the door, and he's waiting for you to open it up and invite him in. And so I want to pray for those of you that are here that may be in that place, right, where you're hearing, and you may be ready to make a decision for Christ, and there's a card that you can fill out, and you can let them know, and the team here at Verve Church can support you, and they can contact you, and they can tell you everything that you need to know in this walk with Christ. And then the other group of individuals I want to pray for are someone that's just struggling, man. Like, love ain't my thing. I've been hurt too many times, or my lens or my vantage point that I've been operating from has been tainted. And so this love that you're talking about is totally new for me. It's foreign. It's something that I'm not used to, and I don't understand how you can love that way. Well, guess what? God can help you to get to that point. And so I want to pray for those two groups. So if you would, please bow your heads right now. And I'm not asking you to do anything. I'm just asking you to open up your heart. Father, I thank you for this opportunity once again. I thank you, Lord, for the chance to stand here, God. I pray, Lord, that my words were not void, God, but they went out and they accomplished what you set it forth to do, that it wasn't my own, God, but that it was seasoned with grace and that it was directed by you. I pray, God, for every heart that is here, Father. We recognize that there is no one here by happenstance, chance, or luck, God, but they are divinely orchestrated to be in this place today, to hear and to receive your word. I pray that your Holy Spirit, Lord, would do a work in their lives. Lord, that today would be a day of change, that they would never be the same again, God. I pray, Lord, that love, Lord, that they've been searching for in all the wrong places, that they would settle in and embrace and find it in you. And that would be the catalyst, Lord, for change in their lives, Lord. So touch the hearts of those who don't know you, God. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to them and that you would encourage them, Lord, to step forward in this new walk of faith. I pray also, Lord, for those that are here, Father God, that
that may know you, Lord, but just may be struggling. God, I pray for strength. I pray, Lord, for whatever it is that they need, God, to be encouraged, Lord, to move forward, Lord, to open up their hearts again, that as they would embrace your love, Lord, that that would open them up to love again, Lord, and to be, Lord, what you're calling them to be. We thank you for this opportunity. We thank you, Lord, for Verve Church. I pray that you would bless each and every person here, and as this ministry proceeds, it's in Jesus' name, amen.